What if the oil and gas industries were owned by the government and were there to serve a public interest mandate? A new report by the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives and the Parkland Institute contends that Canada's oil and gas industry creates significant environmental, social, and political problems for Canadians. They argue that some of the solutions may lie in purchasing the industry and say that the process could be fairly straightforward. Keith Newman is Director of Research for the Communications, Energy, and Paperworkers Union of Canada. He's a co-author with David Thompson of the report, Private Gain or Public Interest, Reforming Canada's Oil and Gas Industry. Good morning, Keith.
Good morning, Lorraine.
Why do privately held oil and gas companies cause the environmental and social problems that you talk about in your report?
Well, the evidence is really in on this. We know that the industry pollutes a great deal. We know that it creates social costs. We know it's by the extent of our oil exports in particular, that we've forced up the value of the Canadian dollar, and that's had bad effects on other exporting industries. And really the current business model we see as being a major problem. It's broken. It harms all kinds of people, kind of through the ways I was just mentioning. And we're suggesting that we look at, make a change, a significant change in the way the industry works, and that it should be converted into a public interest industry, one that supplies existing demand, doesn't try to increase demand particularly. And it can also work to reduce demand, in fact, and be part of, this hackneyed cliche, but, you know, could work to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem.
Right. But buying out the industry and reorienting it towards the public, it seems very radical, yet you say legally and financially it's quite straightforward. How could that happen?
You know, we estimate that it would be $330 billion to take over the major part of the industry. Now, I realize that sounds like a big number, you know, but this would be financed through the future profits of the company. The companies take each other over all the time. There are all these mega deals, $50, $60, $100 billion deals going on constantly. And, and they finance them through future profits, and $330 billion for Canada, one of the richest countries in the world. You're giving up these financial assets, as it were, but you're getting the oil and gas assets back. And so, our provincial and federal governments have the power to buy corporations. They have the power to expropriate if they have to. But what we're suggesting is not necessarily the nationalization of the industry, although clearly the governments would have to be involved, but is more a converting the industry into some kind of series of co-ops, of joint ventures with public capital and perhaps private capital, if any private capital that's prepared not to engage in profit maximization. I mean, legally, a corporation that works under our normal system is obliged to maximize profit, and that means, minimizing their costs. And minimizing costs means, certainly in an industry like this, is increasing externalities. That is to say, have pollution, have that burden borne by other people, have the costs of all kinds of things that they do, the bad health and safety aspects to creating all this pollution and that occurs in the workplaces, have other people bear it, in this case workers. And we think that if we had a public interest mandate industry with the general public on the board of directors, people from the public, Aboriginal people, workers, community leaders of all kinds, and government as well, that we could have an industry that really could increase jobs in Canada through instead of just exporting our raw materials off to, in this case, mainly it's the States, we could process these various products here and make the lube oil and the diesel fuel and all on and on, rather than just sending out unprocessed products.
You're starting to mention some of the benefits of having a public interest industry. Let's talk about that in depth. What areas could the public interest company be mandated to do that would contribute to the public good?
For example, in the area, one of the things that we've been quite disturbed by is how much oil we are just sending right down unprocessed to the United States. You know, and I mean, other countries don't even do this. You know, like Saudi Arabia, for example, they're doing a lot of processing of their oil and natural gas in Saudi Arabia. They're doing that with joint ventures with other big companies. But of course, they have a publicly owned oil industry, and so we think we should do that too. Make petrochemicals here that are going to be used by somebody. I mean, when we send off the oil, they use it for something, right? So they don't just take crude oil or synthetic crude. That's the stuff that comes from the tar sands. I mean, they don't pump that into the cars or into the petrochemical plants. It all gets treated and processed, and there are a lot of jobs and well-paying jobs involved in doing that. So that's one aspect that we think, really neglecting. From the perspective of somebody living out east, half or two-thirds of the population of Canada has insecure oil supplies. I work in Ontario. I live in Quebec. I mean, most of our oil comes from either the North Sea, from Norway or England, but more than half actually comes from the Middle East, from North Africa, from Algeria, from Ethiopia, countries like that. And it's a concern to us that that's not completely secure. And we think that that's another thing that we should be looking at is increasing the security of supply for Canadians, especially in eastern Canada, of course.
We started out by saying that the current oil and gas corporations are having a negative effect on the environment. What could a new public interest body contribute in that area?
Well, I think that if you set your rules for the organization and for the functioning of your company, and it was that profit maximization was not the number one thing, but that public interest was, then you could have a company that envisaged, for one thing, not advertising, more and more use of various kinds of fuels, but also could cooperate on reducing fuel consumption, could cooperate on, and some of the profits could be used to promote public transit. It could be used to promote carbon pricing. I mean, this can be a delicate issue in a way, but it would be refreshing to have these companies be part of going in the right direction and either opposing quite strongly or at times for some of the companies actually financing junk science that are, these climate change deniers and all that, and also backward political parties, like the one currently in power in the federal government. So this would... This is how they could be part of the solution, as it were, to our problems. At the very least, by getting out of the way of those that want to do the right thing, and hopefully by actually encouraging them and doing some positive things in the area of carbon emissions.
Now, you talk in your report about something called rent entitlements. How do they fit in?
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned that. That's very important because... So the rent essentially is what's left over after you have all your costs. You produce your stuff, you sell it, and in selling it, you of course incur costs. And if you subtract out the costs and then the normal profit you would expect to get, a company would expect to get, there's a whole bunch of money left over in this industry, and that money is called rents. And so that's money that should go to the government, and that's another thing that should be captured by these public interest companies, not just given away. It's a huge giveaway that Canada does. We have one of the lowest, believe it or not, rent captures of any country. If you look at, countries that like Nigeria and all kinds of African countries, they take a lot more than we do. It's almost bizarre, frankly.
What would the new mandate of a public interest-oriented industry look like?
Well, I mean, I think we would want representatives of the community on these boards of directors, as opposed to you know, big corporate interests. So we would want them to be judged by the public interest that they were able to serve, and public interest would be to reduce carbon emissions, would be to reduce pollution, would even be, in our opinion, to reduce consumption over a period of time, to cooperate with putting a price on carbon so we can move into a transition of lower carbon consumption, which we know is going to happen, instead of doing whatever you can to oppose that. That's the kind of thing that we see happening.
Well, it's a very compelling idea, but it seems like a bit of a distant reality from the profit-hungry corporations that we have today in the industry. What do you think it would take to make this a reality?
Well, you know, you're right. It is distant from our current reality. I mean, we see this as a way to get a discussion going. Now, there was a poll taken in Canada a few years ago that showed about half of people in Canada wanted to nationalize the industry, and we're not actually even talking about that exactly. And so we think that people would be ready to seriously discuss an alternative model, you know, and that's how we see this paper. It's a way to get discussion going on alternatives to the current model that is really broken. I mean, it's clearly broken in our view.
Well, it's been really good talking with you today, Keith.
Thank you very much.
I've been speaking with Keith Newman. He's a co-author of the report Private Gain or Public Interest, Reforming Canada's Oil and Gas Industry. The report was jointly published by the Parkland Institute and the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives.